The last two Washington administrations have promised to reduce the size of the federal government. President Clinton said as much in his 1996 State of the Union address.
The era of big government is over.
4 years later, George W. Bush championed the same cause when he accepted his party's nomination for president.
Big government is not the answer.
A new report about the true size of the federal government says it is a lot bigger than these men have let on. Paul Light authored the annual and unpopular study funded by the Brookings Institution and New York University.
Every time I release this report, I get hammered by the White House. Basically, presidents don't like to get caught cheating. They like to tell the public that government's getting smaller and leaner and meaner and more efficient. And then they're shoveling the jobs out through contracts and grants, and those appear nowhere in the federal budget.
How big is it at the moment?
Well, depends on how you calculate state and local government workers as to whether or not they're doing federal jobs under mandate. If you count everybody, I'd say it's about 17 million people. Now, the question is whether you want to count those state and local people. If you take them out of the totals, you're at about 12.1 million including postal workers, military employees, civil servants, contractors, and grantees. That's a little bit higher than the 1.7 million civil servants we usually talk about. And that's up a little bit over a million since 1999. I mean, the Bush administration is clearly overseeing a significant expansion in government, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing.
Well, it's only a bad thing if your party has historically been the one for small government.
Well, or it's a bad thing if, for example, you're the vice president who said that during your 8 years in office, government has become smaller than it was in 1960.
That would be Mr. Gore.
That would be Mr. Gore. And, you know, technically, in the most narrow definition of government as the full-time permanent civil service, Gore was quite right. But really, 1960 was before NASA and EPA and Head Start and Medicare and Medicaid. You know, it's just not true.
What are the consequences of having so many contractors working for the government?
Well, I think the most significant consequence is that you create the conceit that government really isn't very big and it really doesn't cost very much and you can get something for nothing. But it also creates all this hoop jumping to try to hide the job, you know, and you put ceilings on federal employment so that government can't possibly get any larger in the civil service, and then you push jobs out to the contractor, and maybe that's a good thing and maybe that's a waste of money.
And they're starting multitasking.
This is my favorite example, which is that at the new Department of Homeland Security, we now are cross-training immigration and customs officers to act as air marshals because we have a cap on total employment in the Department of Homeland Security, so it doesn't look big. I've compared it to having the Chicago Blackhawks skate out onto the field and play a few innings for the Chicago White Sox. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, we ought to have enough people to do the job.
Is this costing the American people more? Are these jobs that are being taken away from civil servants?
It's really hard to tell. You know, we don't know much about the contract and grant workforce. We don't know whether their workers are getting benefits. We don't know what their salaries are. We don't know whether they're veterans. And the contractors don't want to tell us because they want it to be about the total dollar rather than the headcount. What I would worry about in the payroll is, well, what are we getting for that? Who is down there at Cape Canaveral? Who is out there in Iraq? I mean, we ought to have a debate about whether or not it should be a contractor or a grantee or a federal employee. We ought to put all the jobs on the table.
Paul Light is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution who teaches at New York University's Wagner School of Public Service.